Perhaps you could turn with me tonight to the Word of God, to the book of the Psalms. And we'll not be going outside the Psalms tonight. We'll be staying in the Psalms. And first of all, we're looking at the 23rd Psalm, so Psalm 23. I will read the Psalm and then we will move into a devotional message for this evening. So familiar, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tonight we're taking the topic, fears for the future. Fears for the future. And what we're going to do is look at various Psalms and a little more of that in a moment or two. But when you fear the future, the struggle sometimes becomes all-consuming. You can't get away from it, and it boxes you in completely. And you begin to ask, what if? What if? A whole series of what ifs seem to pop up and are running wild in your mind. And though you're doing your very utmost to focus on the present and look to the job at hand, without fail you slump down under a fear that you think is insurmountable. I can't get around it. I can't get over it. I cannot tunnel under it. What does tomorrow hold? What if the future still feels hopeless and tomorrow feels just like today? What if the path ahead is as dark and dismal as some people out there are predicting? Now, when preparing for this devotional message, a leaflet from the Consumer Council came through my letterbox this morning, and it asked the question, is your financial situation a constant worry? Has COVID-19 affected your finances? And of course, for so many people, it certainly will have done that. And they went on to say, if you're worried about your finances during COVID-19 or need to borrow money fast, the Consumer Council's website can help. Never mind finances during COVID-19, it could be that the virus itself is generating huge levels of anxiety within your mind. You may be one that's devouring the news, hourly bulletin by hourly bulletin, and that will have driven you, as it will anyone who does that, pretty close to distraction. You'll even know that the newspapers reported today that the number of daily coronavirus cases in the United Kingdom has jumped by virtually 3,000 yesterday, and that increase is the biggest 24-hour spike since the 23rd of May, when the United Kingdom was, of course, in lockdown. Although the government is keen to say that the number of fatalities has still remained at a low level, with two reported deaths recorded during that time. That was yesterday. Or maybe you're prepared in life for another move or a change in circumstances or situation or job, and you may fear loneliness, isolation, crossed wires, difficulties, all the rest. No matter what circumstance you face, it seems impossible as you view it, impossible to move through it or navigate a route without fear coming over you. So the future makes you freeze. Thoughts of tomorrow and the next day, they stir up unmanageable anxiety within you. Now, you'd love to have this confident, hope-filled outlook, although you only feel grief and uncertainty, and your nagging doubt is, will this anxiety that's overtaking my whole system here ever pass? In those moments, my advice must be, as always, turn to God's word for encouragement, for comfort, and for hope, the very things we lack. Depend on the Lord as we wrestle with this anxiety about the future, and continually seek him through prayer as we work to overcome all present fears. Tonight, I'm going to suggest 5 verses from the Psalms as a starting point along this route. And if you take nothing else home with you, take these 5 Bible references out of the Psalms. There will be no fancy outlines. We don't have time. There will be no detailed analysis of the text in the Psalms that we go to. But I want to take you to the verses one by one. And then, having taken you to the verse itself, give you the best quote that I read today on each of these verses. Somebody said, he who doesn't quote does not deserve to be quoted. So we're going to get a quote, the best one that I could uncover. And your challenge is find better, and I'm sure you will in days to come. And then I'm going to add in a relevant poem or a verse of a hymn that tallies with the 5 verses in the Psalms that we go to. So first of all, Psalm 23, the verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And here's why. Here's the pivotal reason. "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I said we would go to the verse, then we would pull in a quotation. And the quotation is from the old Puritan John Gadsby, who said, "The figure, the picture that is, in Psalm 23, verse 4, is not primarily our dying moments. Though when we read about the valley of the shadow of death, we almost always apply it to our dying day. But he's saying the figure is not primarily our dying moments, though it will beautifully bear that explanation, but it is the valley beset with enemies posted on the hills. David was not only protected in that valley, but even in the presence of those enemies, his table," and he's going into verse 5 here as well, "his table was bountifully spread." What makes the difference? Well, the pivot point in the verse already mentioned, the difference is presence. The presence of the Lord. And if we are assured as we go through fear and anxiety, if we are assured and we are conscious of his presence, that will begin to turn the tide for us. I was going to quote the metrical version of Psalm 23 and 4. Seemed a natural thing to do, and it wouldn't be a bad thing to do it either. But instead of that, I'm going to quote a verse out of a hymn that we have already begun our meeting with tonight in our own hymn book, 342, "In death's dark veil, I fear no ill. With thee, thy presence, with thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me." And I liked the last line. It was different to any other poem that I could find, and therefore I felt this was a very suitable verse. Keep Christ ahead, make sure he is with us, and that will help us in the conquest of fear. Then the second verse in the Psalms is Psalm 34 and the verse 4. And that reads, Psalm 34 and 4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." I sought the Lord. Here's prayer coming in. He heard me, answered prayer, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, you'll see at the top of the psalm that the background is this. David is in the presence of Abimelech. He's frightened for his life. We're told he changes his behavior. He acts as though he were totally affected in his mind, puts on a display. But God delivered David here, even when, because of his actions and deceit, David did not deserve to be delivered. And what do I find in that? Rising to the top of that verse in Psalm 34 and 4, "but pardon, God's pardon." And I'm getting a quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who you will know wrote The Treasury of David, or assembled The Treasury of David, books on the Psalms, got a lot of quotations from the old Puritans, took the best, the marrow of them, put them in there, and his own comments as well on every Psalm in that Treasury of David. And Spurgeon on Psalm 34:4 says, "We may seek God even when we have sinned." Thank God we can do that. If sin could blockade the mercy seat, it would be all over for us. But the mercy is that there are gifts even for the rebellious, and an advocate for men who sin. And we have 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 coming loud and clear in there as well. And then Spurgeon went on to say, and I'll quote this also, "God makes a perfect work of it." He always does. "He clears away both our fears and their causes, all of them without exception. Glory be to his name. Prayer sweeps the field, slays all the enemies, and even buries their bones." So God can and God will do a perfect work of that. And maybe this is the time to pray to the Lord, "Lord, this anxiety that is in my heart, these problems that are there that are causing that, Lord, deal with both my fears and their causes, and do it without exception." And then rest confidently that glory be to his name, prayer will sweep the field, slay all the enemies, even to the extent that it buries their bones. That's an excellent quote from Spurgeon on Psalm 34 and the verse 4. Then the poem or the hymn that I came across is actually number 12 in our hymn book. You can't reference it there, you don't have it. But by Nahum Tate and Nicholas Brady, they combined to write the hymn. Not sure which one wrote this particular verse. "Of his deliverance I will boast, till all that are distressed from my example comfort take, and charm their grief to rest." And he's hitting the nail on the head there, because he's taking the thought that there will be people watching me, and if they see me, by the grace of God, navigating my way through trouble and coming out the other end full of the joy of God, I will be a good example unto many and will encourage more than I could possibly believe. Now we come to the third reference in the Psalms that we're looking at tonight, and that's Psalm 55 and the verse 22, a verse I would imagine again that will be very familiar to all of you tonight. Psalm 55, the verse 22, which says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved." And the word that is leaping out of that text to my mind is this: preservation. That's what God is saying. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." I said there would be no detailed outlines and all of that at the beginning. We're going to give a very shortened outline here, and it comes from Ebenezer Temple. And you would imagine that fellow wasn't born yesterday, because I haven't heard of any babies recently born and named Ebenezer, so it seems to go back a while, and of course it does. 1850 is actually the date for this, when he said what we have here on screen. Here we see the believer has a burden to try him, thy burden, but also a duty to engage him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And again, thirdly, he has a promise to encourage him. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If I were to ask you for what about a verse of a relevant hymn here, I'm wondering, would you come to the same territory that I came to earlier today? I thought, I can't beat what Fanny Crosby has written in hymn 473 in our book. "Bowed beneath your burden, is there none to share? Weary with the journey, is there none to care? Courage, wayworn traveler, heed your Lord's command. There's a thought to cheer you. Jesus understands." Then she goes on to write, "Weary heart, he calls you. Come to me and rest. Does the path grow rugged? Yet his way is best. Leave the unknown future in the Master's hands. Whether sad or joyful, Jesus understands. Psalm 55 and verse 22. And then the fourth text we're coming to tonight in the book of the Psalms is Psalm 94 and the verse 19. Psalm 94, the verse 19, which tells us, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." In other words, even in the middle of my terrors and trials and tribulations, I am thinking about the Lord and his benefits and his blessings. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And that's the kind of territory we want to get onto, away from fear and onto this ground. And I'm calling it pleasure. God's pleasure filling our hearts and souls. During holiday period, I had a bit of time to go out into the garage and upstairs as well and sort out and rearrange at least part of my library. And I came across a paperback book, came across so many, but one stood out in relevance to what we're saying here tonight. And the title was, "Maybe It's Time to Laugh Again." Now, you wouldn't have thought that was going to be a very deep theological treatise. "Maybe It's Time to Laugh Again" by Charles Swindoll. And it doesn't sound like a very deep volume, and it isn't. But it might sound at the same time very valuable. Maybe that's exactly what we need. Very relevant and significant, because that is meeting us right at the point where we feel we're failing. We haven't got joy, we've lost joy, and we're struggling to regain it. So this is a necessary thing. The theology is this. If we realize, and I'm backtracking over the points we've made so far, pulling in the other references in the Psalms tonight, if we realize Christ's presence, if we realize his pardon, if we realize, totally be aware of his preservation in trouble, then the pleasure, the joy will begin to flow again. Robert Hawker. You knew I'd be quoting him. How can I not? He says, regarding this particular reference in Psalm 94 in the verse 19, Robert Hawker says, "This is a precious verse. When carnal men are in trouble, they will be turning from one earthly comfort to another to find relief, looking here, there, and everywhere." That's what we'd say. But, he said, "but when a child of God is in sorrow, he knows that nothing but the same hand that wounds can heal. How truly blessed it is in trouble to look to Christ and the rich consolations in him." And if we get our eyes cleared and our vision no longer blurred to focus on Christ, we will find, as he says, rich consolations in him. A more modern hymn or poem, "And I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home." Coming now to the fifth and the final verse that we're looking at in the Psalms tonight, Psalm 121, verse 1, and we've put onto it verse 2, because really verse 1 doesn't have full significance until you read verse 2 along with it. It gives the meaning of 1. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." My help cometh from, not the hills of course, but from the Lord, who is above the hills, who has made the hills, which made heaven and earth. And here the leading thought coming through is that of protection. "I will lift up mine eyes. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And if that's the Lord who's going to protect me, then I'm going to be very well protected, because nothing is beyond his ability or power. I'm quoting Matthew Henry. How did it take so long to get to that most staple of all commentators? Matthew Henry, on Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, "This psalm teaches us to comfort ourselves in the Lord when difficulties and dangers are greatest. It is almighty wisdom that contrives and almighty power that works the safety of those that put themselves under God's protection." And so we're saying, look to the Lord, Psalm 121, that's the directive there. "And find in him almighty wisdom, contriving everything, almighty power, working everything, the safety of those who put themselves under God's protection." And in tandem with all of the other ones, we're going to quote the verse of a hymn or a poem here, John Bowdler, "To Heaven I Lift Mine Eye." To heaven, why? Because it's Jehovah's throne. "For there my Savior sits on high, and thence shall strength indeed supply to all he calls his own." Our Savior, and this is my concluding thought, our Savior, of course, is the key in all of this. Christ is always the key. And as we grapple and wrestle with all kinds of perplexities and anxieties and difficulties about the future, and we wade through this jungle of fears around us, maybe get our eyes fully on him, then we'll experience presence, pardon, preservation, protection, and I've changed the order there, and pleasure or joy. And as I face the future with its problems, large and small, I'll trust, not fear, but exercise faith. I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. Let's bow in prayer.